This morning, our gospel brings us back all the way to the very, very beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. Today, in my homily, I'd like to bring us back all the way, not so to the beginning, but 100 years ago. Last night, 100 years ago, men from all over Europe, including British, Scottish, French, Belgium, German, Austrian, Hungarian, Russian, Italian, soldiers from all over Europe, were exhausted. They were 5 months into a miserable death and destruction of what was perpetually deadlocked war. It was the first Christmas of the war that was said to be the war to end all war. Christmas has long been amongst the most celebrated of Christian holidays, but in this time, 100 years ago, it was a time of homesickness. And this first Christmas of the Great War, as it was called, had a special meaning. December 24th, 1914, on the Western Front, reminded those homesick soldiers of the safe and warm homes, the families that they had left behind, and which they now started to fear they would never see again. Physically exhausted, spiritually deadened, combat traumatized soldiers on both sides of no man's land desperately sought some respite from the misery of the war and the waterlogged, putrid, rat-infested, increasingly frozen trenches. The frontline soldiers were on the end of their emotional ropes of the unrelenting artillery barrages against which they were so defenseless. We can only imagine the morale of the troops on both sides. And so, in late December, as the exhausted troops settled down to Christmas gifts which they had received from home, special foods, some special liquors, hopefully they hoped some rest. The Kaiser Wilhelm had ordered 100,000 Christmas trees with millions of candles to be sent up to the front lines, so as to try to help boost his troops' morale. And so the Germans lit those candles on their Christmas trees, and they did what any Germans would do. They started singing Silent Night all along the 600 miles of trenches that stretched across France. And we see in response to that the stories that soldiers wrote in their diaries and sent home in letters tell us that an amazing thing happened. In the silence of Christmas Eve, amid the Germans singing their Silent Night, the French, the Brits, the Scots, the Canadians, they too started to join and sing in their own Christmas carols in their own languages. And before long, the spirit of peace and goodwill towards men prevailed over the demonic spirit of war. Once that spirit of peace was felt, soldiers from each side ventured up into the no man's land, came out of their trenches, and they met their enemies. Doing so, they had to step over the frozen corpses, whom they soon gave respectful burials. The former enemies helped one another with that gruesome job. And then a Christmas celebration of peace began. They shared pictures of each other, pictures from home. They shared chocolates and cigarettes, beer, wine, schnapps. Even, it says, they shared some soccer games. Addresses, souvenirs were exchanged, and every soldier who genuinely experienced this Christmas peace was forever changed. Unfortunately, we know that while the soldiers' hearts and minds were changed, the war did not change, and it dragged on for years to come. But one thing that we could consider as we ourselves hear this removed by 100 years is that there is something about Christmas that summons us to peace. The carols we sing, the candles burning, the idea that God has reached out across the no man's land of sin and death, the destruction caused by sin, sending His beloved Son into our world of misery. It invokes within us, it summons us to peace. And our Christmas songs reflect this. Even beyond the traditional Christmas carols, even the secular songs, we can hear peace. We could think John Lennon, not your greatest Catholic at all. No, but he sings, "War is over if you want it." Or there's that version of The Little Drummer Boy by Bing Crosby and David Bowie, in which he sings, "Peace on earth, can it be?" Or even in the completely secular "Here Comes Santa Claus," we include the lines, "Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. So let's give thanks to the Lord above, for Santa Claus comes tonight." Now, what Santa Claus coming down Santa Claus Lane giving toys to little boys and girls has to do with peace, I'm not entirely certain, but it's in the mentality. It pervades Christmas, this idea that there is a call that speaks to all hearts of peace. And this desire for peace goes back to that first Christmas. We hear in the Gospel of Luke the story of the angels coming to the shepherds, and the angels conclude their message, their announcement of the birth, with these words, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill, or to those on whom his favor rests. Peace on earth. The peace longed for by God's people was promised in the prophecy of Isaiah. The Messiah will be called, among other titles, the Prince of Peace. And this morning, we heard Isaiah tell us that at his coming, the announcement would be of peace and good news. He said it would be of salvation. And so we sang in our psalm, "Our Savior has been born today." During the night, in our churches, we again heard that message, that even though it's been centuries since the birth of Christ, that message still speaks to our hearts. It is that heavenly message that tells us, "Do not be afraid, for a great joy has come to all people." It is a message of hope that tells us that on a night over 2,000 years ago, there was born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel of Christmas repeats that same message to us, to all who dwell in our world. The Savior has been born. He is born for you. Come, come, let us adore Him. And so today we do come to celebrate Christ's Mass on this Christmas day. We ourselves today do not find ourselves in the trenches of World War I spread throughout France, but do we not find ourselves in a metaphorical trench? Do we not find ourselves in the world not at peace, filled with chaos? We think the Christians persecuted in Iraq and Syria today, the soldiers who are so far away from home, our hearts are broken. And then we can think, even in our own country, things aren't filled with the peace that Christ came. And so how can we today in church not hear from the very depths of our humanity at once the mingled voices of joy, but also anguished, heart-rending cries for help? And for all of us Christians, today, John tells us, the true light that enlightens every man came into the world. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, proclaims the evangelist. Among us, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the sin and the destruction, the Word came and made His dwelling. The Prince of Peace came and dwelt among us. And so today, as in all the years gone by, Christ comes once more unto His own. And St. John says, to those who receive Him into their hearts, into their lives, He gives the power to become children of God. In a word, He offers us the opportunity to see God's glory and to share the joy of that love which became incarnate for us at Bethlehem. Today, our Savior has been born in the world, for He knows that even today we still need Him. Even today, men are seeking Him. Desperate humanity, despite our many advances, remains the same. Caught with a free will poised between good and evil, between life and death. And it is there, in the very depths of man's being, in what the Bible calls his heart, that man always needs to be saved. Pope Benedict said, in this postmodern age, perhaps man needs a savior all the more, since the society in which he lives has become more complex and the threats to his personal and moral integrity have become more insidious. Who can defend him if not the one who loves him to the point of sacrificing on the cross his only begotten Son as the Savior of the world? Our hearts, which are longing for peace, need today and every day turn towards that Prince of Peace, to open themselves to receive him, to not be afraid to let Christ into our hearts to change us. To change us so that we can be his instruments of peace, so that we can be saved by him. In the past few days, the three priests of Our Lady of Hope have been so edified as we've sat in the confessionals for, we added up, 15 plus hours, reconciling sinners to their God, letting God give his peace to those who are so broken, so hurt. What a joy to celebrate that sacrament. What a joy then to come to this Christmas Mass, knowing that we've been reconciled to our God, that we have received from him the peace that we are longing for. The Second Vatican Council stated that with the Incarnation, the Son of God has in some way united himself with each man and woman. Pope St. Leo the Great, centuries earlier, said, "The birth of the head is also the birth of the body. In Bethlehem, the Christian people were born, Christ's mystical body, in which each member is closely joined to the others in total solidarity. Our Savior, my brothers and sisters, is born for us today. He is born for all. And so we, you and I, who are here to celebrate this Mass today, must take it upon ourselves to proclaim him, not only in words, not only to follow the angel's example and to worship and adore him in this Mass, but to then go forth and to proclaim him with our entire life, giving the world a witness of love, of families where forgiveness reigns, along with kindness, mutual service, truth, and justice. The world needs this true message of Christmas, that God has come among us to dwell with us, to raise us up to be children of God, to share in his glory, in his truth. He chooses to do so in our hearts. And so on this Christmas morning, as we wake up to a world renewed by the birth of the Savior, we should pause and consider that this isn't something that we have been waiting for merely this season of Advent. Because we know that as it has happened today, it did not happen for the first time. But it's a reality that happened 2,000 years ago, but which we must now allow to change our lives today, to live deep inside of our hearts, to be a part of us. When we as modern Christians wake up on Christmas morning, but really, truly, indeed, on every morning, we should greet the world with a different outlook. For each of us, the reality that Christ entered the world, was born of the Virgin, lived, was crucified, died, was raised from the dead, this should pervade every single aspect of our lives. When we wake up every morning, we should be different in the way that we perceive and experience reality. Because Christ, the Savior, has chosen to reveal the Father's love, a love that can bring us the peace that our hearts, yours and mine, everyone we know, is longing for. Today we come and celebrate Him, and how glorious it is, how joyful it is as we join with the angels. But let us not let this Christmas peace be like that of 100 years ago that lasts merely a few days. No. Let us let this Christmas, let us let our God today change our hearts. Let us let our worship of Him in this Holy Mass truly change our lives, so that starting today but lasting tomorrow and into the future, we can celebrate our Savior who saves us from the misery, saves us from the trenches, has crossed no man's land to give us redemption and peace. Come, let us adore Him, for Christ, the Savior of the world, has so loved us that He has come to live in our hearts. Do not be afraid to welcome Him.